If you ask me a question, if it's an area where I have studied, I will try my dead level best to give you an answer. If you ask me a question in an area where I have not studied, I'll just have to tell you that I don't know, but I will try.
Looking at the Mayan calendar, I discovered that the ultimate of the year's axis was also on a 126,000-year cycle. I've always been curious how they were able to figure that out.
Thank you. That's a good comment. In studying the Mayan calendar, they found, you said they found that it had 120-year cycle?
126,000. This is Earth's axis.
Oh, Earth's axis.
And it wasn't until we had satellites that we were able to find out that the year was correct.
You asked, how did they do that?
Yes.
That is an excellent question, and I have never heard an answer to it. That's an excellent question. I'm sorry, I just don't know the answer.
Dr. Chittick, I'd like your opinion on the theory that's proposed by Tom Horn and Chris Putnam that when the Israelites went into Canaan and they dispelled the dispersed people that were in Canaan, those people came to North and South America and set up the kind of the Mayan and Aztec cultures at that time. What is your opinion of that? How do you think that that could be the case?
That people from Israel came here?
Not Israel, from the Canaanites.
Well, the Canaanites. Yes, I've always thought that was definitely there for several reasons. After the flood, they explored all of the earth to find out where the resources were so they could get bring back metal and stuff to do the technology that they had before. And there's a lot of evidence in that. For example, in Berlitz's book and others, and they even had, we have evidence, and I forget the name of the book behind right now, where they found out that Antarctica was discovered before it had ice on it, or were they explored? You probably know that.
The map that they have.
Yes, maps of the ancient sea kings, that's right. Maps of the ancient sea kings talks about that. So I believe that's pretty correct. Good, thank you.
Yeah, I was really interested when you talked about the machine of the stones for the pyramids and such. Do you know if there's any work being done to try and discover how they did that, or is it a complete mystery?
Any work being done to figure out how they use machinery in working on the pyramids? Yes, there are a number of works being done on that. If you want to read kind of a starting point on where that work has been going and where it still is going, read the book by Ed Leeds Kellman, Coral Castle. Coral Castle is near Homestead, Florida. And he claimed that he discovered the secret for building the pyramids. And it's interesting that I'll just leave it there without getting technical. Okay, Ben.
Another question. This could be a long-winded question, if you bear with me. We're trying to reconcile biblical truth and what we see now. We have alluded that technology during those before the Noah's time is advanced. So the first question is, where did the early human got it from? Is it revelation from God, or there's something, a theory or some sources saying that there are fallen angels who taught man how to do this technology? That's one question. The other question is, if the technology was destroyed during Noah and only Noah's family survived, obviously he has some knowledge of the technology to be able to continue that technology towards the building of the Egyptian pyramids or anything built after the Noah's Ark, right? So if that is the case, then that means Noah knew the technology as well, but if he knew, how come it got lost again after the flood, really? The kind of scenario, right?
Those are excellent questions. The first question, how did they learn that technology before the flood? We don't know the details exactly, but the Bible tells us that before the flood, they lived a long time, 800 or 900 years, or almost 1,000 years. And they weren't dumb. God created them to be smart. Now, I've studied science for well over 60 years. And I think I know a little bit about science, but I have often wondered, what would it be like if I could study science 600 years, 700 years, 800 years? I suspect that before the flood, they lived a long time with their good health and mental capacities and stuff. They had adequate opportunity to develop a high level of science and technology. And then you say, what happened to it after the flood? What happened to it after the flood is sad, I think. The people, different cultures, wanted to play one-upsmanship on each other, and they went out and raided each other to try to get the lead, like the U.S. and Russia used to do. I think, so it's man's evil nature treating man is what happened to it. And that culture was destroyed. For example, the library at Alexandria, they had thousands of books there with high technology of the culture, and they went in and burned the library. And whatever was, as you know from your history, whatever was left there was went over to Constantinople. That became the intellectual center, and they burned that library. So it went into the Dark Ages, and we're just now beginning to put it back together. Thank you. That's a good question. Yes.
Yes, Dr. Chittick. Very much enjoyed your lecture. My daughter, on the way here, asked a question. What is your opinion? Who built the Great Pyramid?
Who built the Great Pyramid? Who did it?
Well, yeah, what civilization? Because it was not, as far as I understand, it was not the Egyptians, right?
That was Egyptian, as I understood. I may be wrong.
Was that pre-flood or after the flood?
Pre-flood.
It was pre-flood.
They had a technology before the flood, but the Great Pyramid was built, I believe, after the flood.
After.
Yes.
Do you have a book that you would recommend on group art?
Do we have a book that would be good on group arts?
Yeah.
I have a biased wife. There are numerous ones out there, but I just off the top of my head can't think of them. But there obviously are lots of them out there, at least not lots of them, obviously. But I studied those resources to write my book. And in the book is a bibliography of a lot of material. So I'd recommend that you look at the bibliography there and that help.
Okay, I bought your book about 20 years ago.
Yes. Is that the latest?
You have an updated one?
Is it the latest book edition?
In fact, 20 years it was.
There have been 4 editions. And
okay.
Does it have a puzzle on the cover?
Yeah, I think so.
That's the latest on that. There was another hand. Yes.
You mentioned in your presentation about the Mayans and the Israelites both coming to a consensus about the age of the, or the start of creation being about 4,000 or 6,000 years ago. And I'm wondering why there's a discrepancy then with the modern carbon dating technology. Why are they saying that it's been millions of years instead of just 6,000 years?
That is one of the questions that I get asked almost everywhere. What about carbon dating and so forth? There are 2 questions that I normally get asked everywhere. That's one of them. Could you guess what the other one is?
Yeah.
Dinosaurs.
Yeah.
God willing, tomorrow we'll be speaking down in White Rock, and my topic there with details on the Bible and time, dating methods, and so forth. If I just give you a 1 or 2 sentences, and if you can come down and hear the presentation there, George can tell you more about that. But carbon dating has 2 features. To date with carbon, you have to have carbon. And rocks are not made out of carbon. They're made out of silicon materials. So number one, you have to have carbon. And the second thing is you have to have a calibration. Dr. Libby, who got the Nobel Prize for inventing carbon-14, just before he died, he was asked, how accurate is carbon-14 dating? Because you have to have some standards and so forth. Dr. Libby said, if you don't push me too hard, you go back 800 or 900 years, you can come within 50 or 60 years of whatever the date is. If you go back 1,000 BC, 1,000 years before Christ, he said, we'll be accurate within several millennia. And he said, if you want to go back, Libby said, if you want to go back past that, you sign your name on it, buddy. I'm not.
So why are archaeologists still using that if they know that there's a limitation to the accuracy of that technology?
Question, why are archaeologists still using that? Because they know there's a discrepancy there. They're rapidly getting away from it. Most archaeologists do not use carbon as dating for artifacts, other than if they see two carbons they're roughly the same date. You don't know how far back it goes, but you know that those are probably contemporary. But the archaeologists got into quite heated discussion with those who said carbon dating gives you old ages, because they found out it just didn't fit with objects that we have. For example, in some cases, by dating by carbon using those standard things, you can get negative dates. It hasn't happened yet. You have to wait 500 years for this to happen. So they began to suspect that something was seriously wrong, and we'll talk about some of that on Sunday. Thank you for that good question. Yes.
What is your opinion about Josephus stating that Abraham went down to Egypt and taught them mathematics and that way of thinking, where Egyptians learned how to be able to make better pyramids, not at sharp angles or all that sort of stuff?
What about Abraham going down to the Egyptians and teaching them how to do it? What's my opinion on that? I don't have an opinion because I haven't studied them. Sorry, I don't know. It's a good question. I just don't know the answer.
So what about the dinosaurs? We did it live.
So what about the dinosaurs? When did they live? They were the big dinosaurs. The land animals were created on day one. Day six. So I believe the big dinosaurs were created on day six. And they were reptiles. They're not like other mammals. Reptiles, as you probably know, never stop growing. They just grow and grow and grow until they die of a natural disaster or an accident or something. So I believe that the big dinosaurs were just old great-great-granddaddies that lived a long while. And dinosaurs were on Noah's Ark. God said, take two of every sort, two of every type, two of every kind. They were on Noah's Ark. And after the flood, they never became established in the great numbers that they were before. Dinosaurs were reptiles. They liked a warm climate, so they didn't go up to the north, the pole, or the south. They went into tropical environments or normal high temperature latitudes. And they lived on when man was here. There are still living dinosaurs today. We know where they are. We know what they eat and do. For example, Wulubembe in the Congo. They eat the Malombo fruit. We know they live in caves at the level of the swamp water there. And I have photographs of they ate fruit, the Malombo fruit, off the trees. And we know that at least some of them were 16 feet tall. I have pictures of trees with leaves on them, and all the leaves are gone completely up to a level of 20 feet, and then they are going, so that's as high as they can reach. And the caves there in the Congo, one of the things that fascinated people, there are holes. The cave opening is filled in with mud. the dinosaurs would push mud in to fill in the hole. But if all of those holes is always a little hole about 6 or 8 inches or maybe a foot in diameter. And that was where their tail was. So they moved on in, they couldn't fill in their tail and moved on into the cave for the hole. And that's how they breathe. We have even recorded the sounds of the kind of sounds they make and so on and so forth. And there are flying dinosaurs around. There are some in Oregon, pterosaurs, in the Yakima area. When they come out at night, they're nocturnal. Well, you know what they are and what they eat. They like fish. But in New Guinea, they can talk to New Guinea. They have the flying pterosaurs. The natives there refer to them as grave robbers, because when somebody dies and they bury it, these animals will come in and dig the graves up and eat the carrion on it. And some of them are, and natives are very much afraid of them because they'll come in and take their children off and eat them as they do. The wingspan on the ones that we know about there have a wingspan of about the size of a Piper Cub airplane. So we're studying those very accurately and learning a lot.
But if they, you know, I read something similar to what in nature. However, if it's there, how come it's not being published? Why the suppression of this information? How like you said, you see the studies. Why can't you publish that kind of studies that you read?
If you have this information, why can that information not be published? It is suppressed. What was it, Gail, when he found the blood in dinosaurs?
Schweitzer,
right. She found that
intact blood cells.
Right, intact
blood
cells. Right. And she's not a Christian. She just published it in scientific literature, and they said, we're not going to let you publish anymore. They took her right away because it shouldn't be that way. Dinosaurs shouldn't be reasoned in time. So this information is out there, but it's being suppressed. If you make a discovery like you did in Yakima, Washington State, and you try to publish that in a newspaper, see what would happen. Watch what would happen. So, as far as I've been able to observe, it's being suppressed. The information is there, it's being suppressed. In fact, we had one fellow that attended our fellowship for a while, when he was young, 15. He did research on this, on the animals in Oregon, and he published some of that material in the church paper.
Just church paper, but not a local newspaper.
Correct.
But something like this could be sensational news. Why?
There's one other reason that some the people like who believe in creation and the dinosaurs do not publish where to find it. Because we're afraid of trophy hunters wanting to go in there and killing these animals, and don't want that to happen. They're not very rare. The evidence is these big dinosaurs hatch some eggs, but they have only one pup about every 20 years, so they're not rapid reproducers. So that's the hand over
here. Do you have any books or references for that information regarding these newly found dinosaurs?
Do I have any books or references? I have some websites, and what other materials do we have?
Milt Marcy's book.
Milt Marcy's book, right. He's an insurance salesman that lives in Portland, Oregon. He has been over there several times on trips, and he publishes it and talks about the difficulty of going through the swamps there and stuff, and all of bugs and diseases. But he has a book, doesn't he? What's the title of it? I don't remember the title. If you would write to me, email me, or I could send you his email address and so on, he'd be happy to talk with you, I'm sure. Thank you very much for your questions. My voice will have had even a very, very fun audience to talk with. Thank you for your interesting questions.